Thank you, Brother Robert. We appreciate the hymns, and hopefully after this lesson, perhaps you might appreciate the hymns all the more. We think about, I will guide thee with mine eye. What a promise that is. I can tell you, those who are privileged to give lessons certainly count on that. We want to be guided by his eye. Well, you have another load of love. Brother John brought the love from your Muhammad brethren, and so we'll do it likewise again, because that's a double dose, and especially love from Sister Linda. She wanted to be remembered, and as a matter of fact, she named just about everybody in this room that I was supposed to give love to especially. So pick up your hymn book, open up that front page. This is interesting to me that we find, you know, that in the volumes there is what the work is dedicated to. Well, that's included in the first part of the hymn book also. Okay. And it's Brother Russell penned this. This is Hymns of Dawn, a choice collection of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to aid God's people in singing and making melody in their hearts unto the Lord. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful sound unto the rock of our salvation. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. And then Psalm 95:1 and Psalm 63:5 is given, because those are the scriptures that were cited. To the King of kings and Lord of lords, in the interest of his consecrated saints, waiting for the adoption, and of all that in every place call upon the Lord, the household of faith, and of the groaning creation, travailing and waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God, this work is dedicated. Well, that's to the hymns. And it's an interesting concept that we saw that. I would really appreciate it when we found that. Now, to continue that, it says, to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, and that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things under Christ. And those three scriptures that we just read were stated. We often thought about the next two scriptures, which Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto God. So in this, to me, it includes the wonderful hymns that we sing in our hymn book. Ephesians 5:18 through 20, it says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for the things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this was interesting to me that reprint 1808, and this was May 1st, 1895. Brother Russell is mentioning, he says, in the past, we have provided with a minimal cost scripture text calendars for the brethren's use, and they loved them. But he says, we can't do that this year because many of the brethren are poor and the cost has increased to such a degree that we can't provide the opportunity to have those anymore. He said, many would not be able to afford them, so none were printed this year. Now, he said, many expressed sadness over that, because they were very helpful and they really appreciated. And it says even at the Bethel house, you know, not that he said there was disappointment. He said they were just sorely missed. Just sorely missed. Well, what to do? See, what can we do to find a substitute for this? So what he says, this was what our dear pastor pondered. What is needed is a substitute for the loss, a substitute that will be as helpful or even more helpful than the ones we can't provide anymore. And one was found. And then was suggested to others who were the subscribers to the towers. Pastor's suggestion was to do this. And he says, this is what we're doing now. We've tried this at the Bethel house. He says, this is a good plan, we think. And that's the name of this reprint, An Excellent Plan. Now, quoting from that, he says, it is this. We sing one of the hymns from Poems and Hymns of Dawn every morning before breakfast. This, with the rendering of thanks at the breakfast table, constitutes our family worship for the day, being preceded by such personal prayer or communion with the Lord as each may desire, and the same before retiring at night. Since very few of the hymns are original, and since they represent the choice thoughts, I like that thought, choice thoughts of many of God's saints for the past 300 years, we may speak freely of them and say that we consider them most beautiful, soul-cheering, spiritual life awakening. Those are powerful words, are they not? Speaking of the hymns, do we really appreciate them like we should? They are prayer, thanks, and praise combined, in which all our hearts and voices can and do unite. We commend this plan to you for all to try. Try it for a week. You might like it, you know. The collection is so choice that you can scarcely make a poor selection. And if you continue it for a week, you probably will want to continue it indefinitely. Well, that worked for him at the Bethel house at that time. And so he's suggesting, we can't have this. Maybe you should try something like this. You'll like it. Until we all join, our hearts and voices are joined in glory, singing alleluia, alleluia to him who loved us and bought us with his own precious blood. Try this, we believe there is a blessing in it for all who are in, another one of my favorite words, heart harmony. Those who are in heart harmony with the Lord. It's most profitable for them. But we may be sure that they are acceptable to God only as they come from the heart and truly represent the sentiments. Now, he goes on and talks about that. He says, oft times, you know, if we really don't appreciate our prayer correctly, pray correctly, or even sing these hymns with the thought of what they really are, you know, prayers and all that, in the proper sense, it won't go any higher than our heads. You know, like sometimes our prayers won't. But if we appreciate it, and what our attempt is today is to meditate on some of the words of the hymns as we sing it and make it be heart cheering to you. That's the whole thing. Well, reprint 5278, there's just a little snippet, a couple sentences that I think are important too. Singing songs of praise constitutes one of the most interesting and most profitable methods of worship. But we may be sure that they are acceptable to God only as they come from the heart and represent its sentiments. There he repeats that again. So it's important. It was important to him. Now, the scripture was given earlier, be ye filled with the Spirit. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always. And that was that Ephesians scripture. July 16th manna, I thought, is worth considering here in the relationship with this, be ye filled with the Spirit. And he quotes, "The measure of our filling will correspond with the measure of our emptying of the spirit of self-will and filling with the spirit of faith and obedience." You know, I always told my kids, you know, character is the key. What do you want to do? You want to eat what are we going to feed on? You want to eat some sawdust, or you want to eat apples, see? Empty out self-will, fill it with something else. That's really more important. So that's what we appreciate in that. And although the obedience cannot do otherwise than manifest itself in daily life, nevertheless, it is the obedience of the intention of the will of the heart that the Lord regards in his consecrated people. Hence, some whose hearts are thoroughly loyal to the Lord may be pleasing to him, while not the most pleasing to some of those of whom we may come in contact. While others, highly esteemed in the sight of God, sight among men, because of outward moralities, may be an abomination in the sight of God because of coldness or dishonesty of heart. Nevertheless, he that hath the new hope in him, the new spirit, will seek to purify himself not only in his thoughts, but also in his words and deeds and all the affairs, all of his affairs, inward and outward. Then a little snippet from the fifth volume, 246. The exhortation, therefore, "Be ye filled with the Spirit," implies much. It implies that we should make use of the various arrangements and provisions which the Lord has made for our spiritual development. And so with that in mind, are we making full use of the hymns? Good question. Are we making full use of the poems of Dawn? Remember, these are choice collections that have been put together that we might enjoy them. So, continuing, we're going to go to the sixth volume. I think some of these things were important to me, and we're just sharing them. 136 of the sixth volume talks about sanctification. Sanctification does not mean human perfection, as some have misinterpreted it. It does not change the quality of or order of our brains, nor remove the blemishes of our bodies miraculously. It is a consecration or devotion of the will, which through Christ is accepted of the Lord as perfect. It is a consecration of the body to sacrifice, even unto death. And that body, as we have seen, is not made actually perfect through justification by faith, but merely reckonedly perfect according to our will, our heart, our intention. The new will, as the apostle exhorts, should seek to bring every power, every talent, every opportunity of its body into full accord with the Lord, and should seek to exercise an influence in the same direction upon all men with whom it comes in contact. Heart loyalty to the Lord will mean continued effort to bring all the conduct of our lives, yea, the very thoughts and the intents of our hearts, into subjection to the divine will. This is our first duty, our continued duty, and will be the end of our duty, because this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Now here's the scripture. We're saying all this to get to some of these points here that are following. Be ye holy, for the Lord am holy, as I am holy. Absolute holiness to be the standard is the standard to be which our mind can gladly and fully endorse and live up to, but to which we will never attain actually and physically, so long as we're subject to the frailties of our fallen natures and besetments of the world and the adversary. But day by day, as we are taught of God, as we come to a fuller knowledge of his glorious character, and as the appreciation of it more and more fills our heart, the new mind will more and more gain influence, strength, power over the weaknesses of the flesh, whatever they may be, and these weaknesses vary with the different members of the body. Our sanctification, therefore, must be primarily toward God and first affect our own hearts and wills as the result of such devotion to God finds its exercise in the interest of the brethren and of all men. Many of our hymns that we sing are designed to instruct as well as to praise our Heavenly Father. And remember, as Brother Russell said, these hymns represent the choice thoughts of many of the Lord's saints all down through the age, especially the last 300 years. Now, a familiar hymn with an important message is Take Time to Be Holy, and a true formula for success. Now, these words came from a man by the name of W.D. Longstaff. Now, it was written as a poem, and that's, you'll find that in Poems of Dawn 144. It was written as a poem after hearing a sermon based on the scripture, 1 Peter 1:16, "Be holy, for I am holy." So this is just not something that was written just on a whim. It's something that motivated, because it was a spiritual awakening, perhaps, for this person. Well, then the music, this poem was found and put to music by George C. Stebbins in 1890, and was then shown to Ira Sankey, who published the hymn in the same year as he was taken by the message of the poem. Now, it's interesting. I thought this was interesting because Brother Russell, if you remember reprint 4303, he mentions Moody, Sankey, Whittle, and Bliss as playing a major part. And we'll read one paragraph from 4303. Look, and this is Brother Russell's quoting there. Looking back to 1881, we find that in the few years preceding that date, a considerable work of evangelization took place. Moody and Sankey, and later Widow and Bliss, revival meetings from 1875 up to 1881. Their work appeared to be of a more substantial kind than that of revivalists generally since. They made prominent justification by faith, consecration to the Lord, to a degree that has seldom been equaled by evangelists. Large numbers professed through conversion under their labors, and the depth of their work and of its hold upon the people is witnessed by a large sale and use of their gospel hymns. Here's the point. It is our thought that the Lord used these men, and through their ministry, the foreordained number was completed at the foreordained time, 1881, of all the grounds being run forth. So this was instrumental, their work, in the many of the hymns and so forth, and the thought that bringing out full consecration to the Lord was important. Now, you have a handout there. I want to say a little bit something about this. The words to the hymn, Take Time to Be Holy, my sister, Sandy Martin, put scriptures to each one of those verses. And my brother, Danny McClugan, if you look at that out to the side, he kind of categorized that and kind of enumerated them. Okay. Now, the reason why I say that, there are so many of the Lord's people who are behind the scenes doing wonderful things like this. You know, often, you know, I would ask Sister Linda or Sister Sandy, Brother John Wood, or Brother Harry, or whatever, why don't you look into a subject like this and maybe see if we're missing something? What can you come up with? Now, do we do that because we need it? No, because we want it, and we want to encourage their participation in that. These are like the ones that are silent. They're not out there the front. I want you to appreciate their work, and what, like we appreciate it, and we can only be their voice. to present that. So we're happy. We're happy to do that. So that's what we want to do. We want to go over some of these verses, mainly all of them, and have a few choice scriptures that Sister Sandy thought went with them. And we added many of our own thoughts too. But very important, see, that to have your dear ones who, again, behind the scenes, to precipitate. Now, I told Brother Danny, I said, I'm thinking about this, been thinking about this for 2 years. And many of the brethren encouraged me to do this. Well, it's a different kind of a lesson, but yet I think it's important that we see the work of others and also appreciate the work of these hymns and the penning of them and some of the thoughts and sentiments that they, we're not just singing words, but we're contemplating them. So, first verse. Take time to be holy. Take time. Just think about that. Time is an important element in our lives, is it not? And if we take or seize the moment to take time, how important is that? It's very important because time is used in the scriptures in 560 verses. Okay? Of which 617, it might be used a couple times in those verses. So, you know, there's time. And if we look at Ecclesiastes 3, chapter 1, how many times is time being used there? We won't read it, but take advantage of those things. You know, a time to sow, a time to plant, a time to pluck, a time for this. Under God's arrangement, there's a season for everything. There's a time for everything. So, Brother John, you'll appreciate this. We've talked about time before, Brother John and I, and he brought to my attention one time, he says, I really appreciated this one little reprint. It's probably a couple paragraphs long. And you'll remember. It's from 1756. The Inelegance of Hurry. And I thought, well, and I went back and I read that. And, you know, in the work world, there are so many who are buzzing around doing this and this and this and that. And Brother Russell said it kind of gives or smacks of the idea that you're important. See? Not humility, but it would puff up. You know, I've seen individuals like that. You know, hurry here. There's a, don't you see I'm important? So that was the whole thought that was presented here. But for us, we want to slow down and take time to consider these wonderful things. So 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, again, this is so important. It says, take time to be holy, for he that called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man can see the Lord. So it's important that we take time for this. 2 Peter 1:10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, what are we to do? Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fail. Now that precipitated reprint 3307, a little heading, Perfect as Your Father in Heaven. Perfect as Your Father in Heaven. And we'll quote from that. The standard which the apostle has here raised resembles the standard which our Lord raised before us when he said, Be ye perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. But we can and do aim at that perfection. And wherever we come short, in while thus endeavoring to make up in us of the Lord's grace through the merit of the precious blood, likewise we cannot hope to attain so complete a control of our thoughts as the apostles' words in this beautiful text, as it suggests. But we can make that our standard. We can make those things our standard. We're not going to live up to them in the flesh. It's impossible. Why? Because in our flesh dwelleth really no good thing. So we're told these things. We just have to call it the way we see it. But God, we've always appreciated this concept and principle. God looks at us for our intention, the heart, the will. How hard are we trying? I don't know about you. I've said many times, Lord, I'm trying my best. You'll have to do the rest. And then I step back and I said, Lord, am I really trying my best? You know, but He sees that effort. He sees that desire. And that's what we all should have. We should have that desire to live up to that perfect standard, even though we can't in the flesh. But He gives us credit, not for what we do, and aren't we glad, but what we're trying to do. See? Now that's a wonderful, heavenly, merciful Heavenly Father that we think about that. But we can make that our standard, and in proportion, I love that word, in proportion, you know, that's an interesting word, you see. As we view this standard and daily strive to measure up to it, that in that sense and proportion, no doubt we will have a blessing every day throughout the year, and at its close find ourselves considerably strengthened in mind and advanced along these lines, which the apostle elsewhere speaks as bringing every thought into the captivity to the will of God in Christ. Continuing in the text, it says, speak oft with thy Lord. Take time to be holy. Speak oft or often with the Lord. Well, scriptures, we're very familiar with pray without ceasing. You know, be instant in prayer. But we give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. The apostles were, that's what they were doing. They were seeking to think of prayerful thoughts all the time and then sharing those with us. The prayer of the upright is his delight. Proverbs 15:8. And then in James 5:16. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth just something. No, it availeth much. It avails much. To abide, and then we're going on. Still in this first verse. Abide in him always. You know, when we study sometimes and their questions are asked, I was telling Brother Darcy the other day, he's getting ready for the study there in Muhammad. And Sister Linda's going over this, and there's a question here. And she says, Brother Jim, every question that I'm looking at here reminds me of a hymn. Good. This is a good thing. This is a good thing. We want it to be so. See, because these choice thoughts and sentiments awakens us. That's why we want to appreciate the sentiments of these hymns. So, one of those hymns that we think of, Abide in Him, hymn number one. Abide, sweet Spirit. 1 John 2:6, He that abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked. That's an important scripture, isn't it? If we're walking, if we're footstep followers of our Lord, we have to walk in that same direction as He did. We can't walk up to the perfect standard, standard of perfection, but we walk. That's our goal. That's our heart sentiment. Well, Brother Allen is going to talk probably tomorrow about this next scripture, Romans 6, 3, 4, and 5. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together, abiding in Him, if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So to abide in him means to trust, see, to rest, to dwell. That's our dwelling place. We want to rest in the Lord and stand firm, having done all that we can to stand firm. John 15:4-7. Abide in me. Well, that's he's just telling us flat out. Abide in me. Well, what will happen? And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. We can't bear fruit of ourselves. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Now, if a man abide not in me, here's kind of a warning here. He is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into a fire, and they are burned. But if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, what will happen? Ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. That's a real benefit. If we abide in him, what benefits accrue from that? We have benefits of all you sitting here, too. Our brethren, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together. What a benefit that is for us. Very, very important. So then, if we're going to abide in him, we need to feed on his word. Feed on his word. You know, Matthew 4:4, it says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word. Now, some of the words, no. No, every word is important for us, is it not? See, it has great benefit, too, if we feed on that. Why, it's been mentioned here many times, Brother Wes, I've heard him say it 3 or 4 times already this weekend, for wherever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered thereof. We had an interesting conversation about that. You know, is it eagles of some kind, or is it vultures or whatever? But it's always appealed to me, you know, the carcass is something that has been killed for us. We don't have to create anything new. It's there for us. All we have to do is gather together and partake of that. So, Brother West will have to tell you another story, but I can't do that. But I liked it. The Lord gives us something special to eat when we are what? In fellowship, even if 2 or 3 are gathered together. Where 2 or 3 are gathered together, is he in your midst if we're doing the things, if we're abiding in him? And they all said, yeah, yes, that's true. Yes, we are. That's a precious promise for us. So we want to feed on his word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak. We often appreciated, you know, Brother Russell, he had repeated the article maybe 2 or 3 times, and it was about David and Jonathan. And it talked about a friend in need is a friend indeed. See? A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. If you have a brother in Christ, no matter what happens, he's there to help. See? Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak. Well, there's also another aspect of that, Galatians 6:10. We're to do good unto all men as we have opportunity. But once in a while, no. But always to the household of faith, really. But especially unto them that are of the household of faith. So that's what we want to do. We want to enjoy each other's fellowship. And the nourishment that we get from each one by our understandings that we share one with another. Forgetting in nothing His blessing to seek. Psalms 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Psalms 37:4-5. Matthew 6:33-34. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So if you read the context of all of that, there are many things. If you're seeking the Lord and His righteousness, there's a benefit in that too. You know, the richness of His Spirit with us. Therefore, in Matthew 6:34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, means anxious thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. But we forgetting nothing, we want to seek His blessing in all those things. So we don't want to get bogged down in the affairs of our life to the degree that we're discouraged. Forgetting in nothing His blessings to seek. So we want to seek His blessings all the time, do we not? Going on to verse 2. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. You know, our life sometimes are very hectic. Especially if you're still working. You know, you're trying to juggle everything. You work 10 hours a day. You're trying to take care of family. You're doing this. Boy, there just doesn't seem to be much time for anything. Certainly, we lived, many of us, fast-paced life. They're filled with activities that consume our time. Now, this is an interesting scripture that we appreciated. It's from James 4:14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. How often do you say, man, time flies by? But we don't want to be just as a vapor and then vanishing away, do we? We want to make good use of the time that we have. Now, someone said, well, you know, I always try to do everything that I do as unto the Lord. Well, there's a caveat there. We want to make sure that the things that we're doing and we consecrate to the Lord are things that He would appreciate, not things that we're doing that we want to do and then we commit it to the Lord. No, we want to. Sister Orme Williams was a good example to me along these lines. They entertained the brethren, Brother Kenny and Sister Orme Williams. Many of you, Brother Danny, knew them well. Fondly knew them well. And as she prepared for the brethren to come in and was toiling along certain lines, she would hum this little song to herself. You know, I'm doing this for the Lord's people. You know, even though through weariness of the flesh, see, just that little tune going over that in her head, she was committing that effort to the Lord. Do you think the Lord appreciated that? Well, certainly the brethren did, because they were benefits of that. But that's just one little example that if our thought processes are correct or placed in the right direction, no matter what we do, especially for the brethren and those kind of things, if we commit that to the Lord, then I think in our own hearts and minds we receive comfort from that. So the world certainly rushes on. Before we know it, time has slipped by. You know, where does time go? It goes hide someplace. I don't know where it goes. We never seem to have time to do the things we want to do. Therefore, though, brethren, Hebrews 2:1, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. Very important concept there. We don't want the time to rush by so far that we turn around and look back and where did our life go? We have committed our life to the Lord. So, you know, start the day out right, whatever it is, through whatever our personal relationship is to the Lord, through our reading the manna. We can always do that, you know. Sometimes I listen to Brother Brian on my way to work. You know, that's an important thing. We appreciate the tools that are at our disposal that the brethren have taken special time to put together for us. These resources that we are so blessed by. It helps us to be able to go about our fast-paced lives, but yet think about these things and meditate them on. Sometimes when we have a long way to drive, to me, I call that therapy, because I'm able to think about those things. You know, I'm trying to watch out for traffic too, mind you, but we don't want to run into a ditch. But the idea, I cherish those times, because if we put those thought processes in the proper perspective, see, that's a benefit for us. See, so that's what we try to do. You know, do we always do that? No. Work encroaches in our life so much. I appreciate all those who are able to be retired because they have a lot of time on their hands, right? No, about every retired person, I said, we're busier now than we ever were. It can be, especially if you have grandchildren and so forth. So, our lives are crowded, and there are so many voices calling to us. We've got to separate those voices out and put into proper perspective that which is real important. Well, how about our consecration of sacrifice to the Lord? Is that important? You believe it. It is. So let's put forth the effort to cut away, as Brother Russell would say, those things that we can. We can't always cut away everything, you know, because we have so many obligations and responsibilities. You know, many of us were married before the truth found us. Well, there's an obligation there too. So, children and all. But we can adjust our lives to such a degree if we can cut off just one thing here, a snippet there, over here. The Lord will appreciate the effort, will He not? That's what He's looking for. How hard are we trying? What do we want to do? What's our motivation? See, we want to be pleasing to the Lord. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. Well, here, we all know where we're headed with this. Sister Sandy said, we go into our prayer closet, do we not? Matthew 6:6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret reward thee openly. So, spend much time with the Lord and in secret alone. So that's an important. How important is prayer life? Well, it's our lifeline, is it not? This is our communication with the Lord. And there was a question book there, that 540, if I remember, there was a question asked, well, who do you pray to? You always pray to the Heavenly Father, or just sometimes you pray to Jesus. And he says, well, certainly, most of the time, we pray to the Heavenly Father. But the Son is so in harmony with the Father's will that I've had many brethren say sometimes they offer a prayer. But our practice is, certainly, we always address the Heavenly Father through the merit. So, he says, it's up to the individual. He says, here's what we do most of the time. But, see, we consider the Lord and what He has done for us. And so, he said it wouldn't be out of harmony, but we know that everything is of the Father, but by the Son. here we are. Continuing then, by looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." But we see Jesus by looking to him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We know that such a wonderful scripture of Hebrews 2 and 3. See, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us," 1 John 3:1 through 3, "that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Be ye holy, even as he is holy." So that's what we want. We want to have this holiness of heart, mind, intention. Romans 8:29. "For whom he did foreknow, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Well, that's what our job is. We are asked nothing more to try to be conformed to the image of God's dear Son. And how can we do that? By looking over here or there? No, by looking at his example. If we're going to walk in his footsteps and walk in that same way, we have to know how he walked, where he walked, what he was doing. Not physically, but in the Lord's desire, seeking to please the Lord. That's what we want to do. "Let this mind then be in you that was in Christ Jesus." Philippians 2:5. Psalms 45:14. "She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions, that follow her shall be brought unto thee." Well, we know that whatever reward you receive, you still have to be conformed to that image that the Lord would be pleased with. So, continuing again. "Thy friends in thy conduct his likeness shall see." Are you an epistle of Christ? Can others see Christ in you? That's an important thing. We're asked to be an example unto the brethren. You know, of the brethren. Not only to the brethren, but to others in conversation, in word, in our actions, our everyday life. See, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Will it be said of us, ye shall know even as you are known? What a lofty goal that is. Will that be said of us? And we got to try to show that example now, one to another. Are we walking truly in the footsteps of our Master? 1 Timothy 4:12. "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer." Here is the scripture there. Believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Very important. John 13:34 and 35. "A new commandment I give you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, and that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know you are one of my disciples, if you have loved one another." Again, known and read. We want to have this example that others will say, they have walked with Jesus. Okay. "Thy friends in thy conduct, his likeness shall see." Well, here, friends, are we walking up to that ideal standard? That's what we look at each other and say, are they really trying their best to to be an example, to be conformed to an image of God's dear Son. I think many times, most of the time, we all see that. We realize that. We all have this hope. Verse 3. Time's really going fast. So 3 and 4 are going to go fast here. Take time to be holy. Let Him be thy guide. I like the hymn, the chorus, I will guide thee with thine eye. Are we looking towards the wisdom that God imparts to us through His Word? Well, if we are, and we are looking at that correctly, we are being guided, are we not? By His wisdom, His eye. He's got His eye on us. I got my eye on each one of you too. He's got His eye on me. Are we doing those things? Are we appreciating the guidance that the Heavenly Father gives us? Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Psalms 25, 4 and 5. And also verse 9. The meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His way. So let Him be your guide. For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore for thy name's sake lead me and guide me. What a request that is. He wants to see that request being made from a good and honest heart. I will instruct thee in the way which thou hast, that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with thine eye. Psalms 32:8. Boy, I love some of these scriptures that our dear sister Sandy has put together for us, really to harmonize these things. And run not before him, whatever betide. When we think of that, the scripture that always comes to my mind, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, mind, and soul, and lean not to thine own understanding. We don't want to run ahead of the Lord, do we? In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He, the Lord, shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. What is that evil? Leaning to our own understanding. That's what it is. We want to trust in the Lord. We want to be guided by Him. We can't run before Him. We want to run beside and after that way. In joy or in sorrow, still follow the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. If you read that 23rd Psalm, really, you see that. In joy or in sorrow, His rod and His staff, they comfort me. So, thinking about that. And looking to Jesus, still trust in His Word, trusting myself to the divine care and the providential overruling for some of my, for all of my interests, for my highest welfare, I will seek not only to be pure in heart, but to repel all anxiety, discontent, discouragement. Verse 4, brother, we're going real fast now. Take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul. You know, I was waiting. You know, the old saying is, take time to smell the roses and all that. But the world has that proverb. But, you know, coming out here, sometimes travel is a real test. Okay? And the old saying is, if you got time to spare, go by air. You know? Well, that's true. Flights were being changed here and there. Fog was in over. I mean, you could see about this far. Hello. And that was it. Okay. And there was a lady sitting across from me. She says, boy, you're calm in all this. Be calm in thy soul. And I'm thinking, here, well, maybe an opportunity. I said, well, you know, say we're working on a lesson here. You know, be holy even as our Father in heaven is holy. And I was expecting some conversation. No, not a word. Not one word. Oh, that was it. That was all. Hey, I opened the door. She slammed it shut. Hey. But we wanted to try. So there we go. Be calm. When he giveth quietness, who can make trouble? Okay? Job 34:29. And Job had a lot of trouble. Okay. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God which surpasses all, I always use human understanding, see, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Also, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. Continuing, each thought and each motive be beneath his control. When we think of Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, if there be any virtue to that, what do we do? You're going to think on those things. Thus led by his Spirit to fountains of love. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born or begotten of God and knoweth God. So we want to be led by his Spirit to fountains of love. Thou soon shall be fitted for service above. You know, the last verse of Psalm 23. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. There's poems, time is short and all that, but there's a lot of things we could do. But in all of this, we hope that we would appreciate those little ones who are behind the scenes, and I wanted to share their efforts, because what I told Brother Danny too, I said, we're gonna talk about this, and he said, oh, Brother Jim, what a wonderful blessing that is. See, it feels like they're contributing to something. Let's not overlook those things, that those who are the small ones, who are standing by, who are helping. You know, there are many names of the scriptures that the apostles used that were behind the scenes, really, that were such big helps. So, dear brethren, take time to be holy is our prayer, not only for you, but for me too. Lord, bless each one of us to that end.